The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. I'm sure most of you have heard of the Roman Road to Salvation. This road is taught as being the pathway to heaven among most denominational churches in the religious world today. But is this road the true road to heaven? Is this the road that all people must walk in order to go to heaven, even babies in the womb and the mentally incapacitated? What about those who've never heard the gospel or never will hear the gospel message? Join us today as Elder Paul Blair teaches us about some problems with the Roman road as it's taught in the religious world. Due to the length of this sermon and our desire to post it in its entirety, there will be no song, but we'll go right into the message.
I have felt impressed for some reason, and I hope it's the reason of the Lord, to preach to you about something that is very common. It's a common teaching or plan that the denominational world promotes as the way of salvation. And they call it the Roman road to salvation. How many of y'all have ever heard of that? Now, the word road only occurs one time in 1 Samuel, the actual word road. But the way or highway or a traveled way, a path, a journey, is mentioned many times in the scriptures. Now, this Roman road to salvation is a collection of verses out of Romans that provides a road map or stops along the road and turns along the road that you must make in order to get from hell, where everybody's going, to heaven. Now, as I present this to you, I want you to understand that I believe every one of these scriptures. I believe every one of these scriptures. Now, there are basically four turns in this road. And when, as it's presented, because I don't want to misrepresent how they present it. I want to present it correctly the way that it is presented by and large. Now, the first step on this road is Romans 3 and 10. There's none righteous, no, not one, and Romans 3 and 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
That is true. And so in this first stop in or first turn in this road map, you must understand the human condition. That's what this is. And that is the condition of all of humanity.
Amen.
That is. So the first step is to realizing that we're sinners. Now, the second step on this roadmap that is promoted by the denominational world to get from hell to heaven is humanity's hope in Christ. Romans 5 and 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.
Amen.
That is right. He died for sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. That's his purpose to come into the world. So the second stop on this road is to understand what the sinner's hope is, and it only lies in Christ. Now the third step in this road is the sinner's response. And they jump from Romans 5 and 8 all the way to Romans 10 and 9 in this road, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. That is I believe that scripture in its context. I do believe that scripture in its context. So this Roman road, this third turn in this road that must be made to get from point A, hell, to point B, heaven, is that the sinner must confess with his mouth. And he must respond. Now, the fourth step in this road is the result of salvation. And they go back, jumping back to Romans 5 and 9. This road's kind of curvy, ain't it? Right. They go back to Romans 5 and verse 1. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This is the result of salvation. You understand? This is the last step. And then they go to Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the result of your response is that there's no condemnation. So that's the last step in this road, and every step must be made. Every step must be followed. Every step must be performed in order for you to arrive at point B. I believe Romans 5 and 1 and 8 and 1.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I believe that. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You know what that didn't say? That didn't say that God had peace with us.
That's right. Amen.
Now, this collection of verses is arranged in the order that promotes the idea that Jesus made salvation possible. And that the preaching or witnessing to the sinner and the correct response of the sinner is the means by which salvation is acquired and secured by the sinner. Did y'all catch that? It's secured by the sinner because it requires the response of the sinner in order to make it effective. Now, did I correctly represent the position of the Roman road to salvation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't agree with that. I got some questions about this road, okay? I got some questions about this road. Number one, I wrote these down, these questions down. I'm a ponderer. I ponder things. I don't just take what somebody says as the gospel truth. I should have been born in Missouri. You know, that's the show me state. I won't just believe what you say just because you say it. And I'll tell you, I'll go a step further. I don't believe hardly anything I hear. And I don't really, nowadays, I only believe about half of what I see. So you've got to give me an ironclad understanding and logical argument for me to really ponder and believe what you say. But I'm going to ponder what you say. Now, I got some questions about this Roman road. Number one, if this is the road to salvation, what was the road before Paul wrote Romans? What was the road? What was the way before Paul wrote them? Because Paul didn't write the book of Romans until, 68-something A.D.? The church had been in existence for 30-something years. What did they do? How did they understand it? And not only that, what about Abraham? What about Adam and Moses?
Amen.
What about David and Solomon? What about the prophets? How did they get there? If this Roman road to salvation, and this is the turns in the road that were required for you to get from point A to point B, how did all of those Old Testament saints reach point B? So there must be another way. There must be some exception to this road for them to be in glory. That's logical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Must be an exception. Or a different road.
Yeah.
Now, number two. If this road requires the correct response of the sinner, what about those that have no ability to respond? What about the aborted child?
Right.
What about the mentally challenged?
Right.
What about the mute?
Yeah.
What about the blind?
Yeah.
What about the deaf that can't hear the word?
Right.
Are they going to be in glory?
Yeah.
If they are, there must be another road.
Right.
There must be an exception to this road.
That's right.
If it requires a response on the sinner's part. What about the unborn baby? Can they even make a response? And what is the correct response? Is it a prayer that you pray? Is it baptism? Is it living a holy life? Is the correct response unwavering faith? Is it holding on and holding out to the end? Is that a correct? They're all good things to do, but are they the correct response? Ponder, meditate, think about what people ask and say. That's another question I have. This road, the Roman road to salvation, requires that a preacher bring the roadmap to the sinner, show him how to go, and help him get there. Now, what about those that never heard the gospel preached? I'm going to tell y'all an experience I had with a brother from another order. And this is before I'd been to Africa. Way before. And He came and he said, he was a missionary, and he came and he was a friend. I was at a friend of mine's house, and he was his friend. And he said, we got to talking, and he said, I've been to Africa. And I said, you have? I was very interested in it because I was planning to go. And he said, yeah. He said, we went there, and it was amazing. 10,000 people came and joined the church. We had a lot of activity. And we built a compound. We did all that stuff and got them set up with, you know, we built a church and we had, you know, it was amazing. The zeal and the fervency that they had. And then we went back to check on them a couple years after that. And only 5,000 remained. And then he started to look very despondent. Concerned, very concerned. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, we went the next year and only 1,000 remained. And I said, well, what happened? What's going to happen to them? And he said, I'm sad to say that they're going to hell. And I asked him, I said, well, what would have happened if you never went? And he said, they all would have gone to heaven because of ignorance. And I said, brother, you just sent 9,000 people to hell by preaching to them. You should have stayed home and let them be in glory. And he looked at me with a puzzled mind and eye, and he said, I have never thought about that. And I said, well, you need to think about it. People don't think. So if preaching the gospel is one way and then holding on and holding out to the end is the way, but there's another way to get there if, you know, just to cover them, if preaching the gospel won't do it, God will just save them on ignorance. That's a multitude of ways to get there, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't make any sense,
Amen.
Does it?
Amen, bro.
You know, God's a God of order.
He's
a logical God. He's a logical God based on his logic, not yours. Now, I got some more questions. This road requires that the sinner responds, believes, or generates enough faith in order to make what Jesus did effective. But how do you get faith? It's a preposterous idea to think that you must generate something in order to get the source of it.
Right. Amen.
Have y'all thought about that? How in the world could you generate something you don't have in order to get something that you ain't got? Now, that just makes sense, don't it?
Right.
My grandma used to say you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. You know why? Because it ain't got no blood in it.
Right.
You can't squeeze faith out of a sinner that's not regenerated because he ain't got any.
Amen.
Now, I'm a little raw if y'all hadn't figured that out. Now, I got another question, and this may be one of the most important questions. This road to salvation that's presented was not followed by the one who wrote the book of Romans.
Amen. That's right.
Well, how did he get there? If Paul the apostle didn't follow that road, you know, and nobody talked to him, and nobody required a response from him. Nobody, the preacher didn't get to him.
Amen.
I mean, the man preacher, any man preacher didn't get to him.
Right.
Then if Paul didn't follow that road, then you must admit that there is another way, or there's an exception to that road.
Right. That's right.
I want you to understand that there is another road.
Amen.
And it's not another road. It is the road.
Amen.
And I want to talk to you about the road, the real road to salvation, and I'm going to call it the Damascus Road.
Amen.
It's the Damascus Road of salvation. And I want to tell you about three unlikely characters that followed that same road. Now, I'm not going to start with Saul of Tarsus. We're going to get to him in a minute. I want to talk about an unlikely character that was able, you wouldn't think based on this Roman road to salvation that he was even had any ability to walk down this road. And the first one, his name is John the Baptist. Y'all remember John the Baptist, don't you?
Yeah.
Y'all remember what happened to John the Baptist?
Yeah.
Before anybody knew him, before anybody had met him, before anybody had seen him, when Mary came to see his mother Elizabeth while he was yet in her womb.
Yes.
And she saluted her and gave her greetings, and the babe leaped for joy in his mother's womb. I'm going to tell you, that young John the Baptist, he didn't follow the Roman road, did he? He followed the right road. He followed the right road. And that right road was that God implanted his spirit within him before he was born. And I'm telling you, that gives me a lot of hope and a lot of joy for the unborn child. There's no exception for how you get from point A to point B. It's all on the way.
Amen.
What is the way? You remember what Jesus said?
Yeah.
Y'all remember he was there talking about him going away in chapter 14 of John. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know what prepare means? When y'all ladies prepare, maybe some of you men, I don't want to be, behind the times. I like to cook. When y'all prepare a meal, what do? You put all the ingredients that are needed and you stir it up and it comes out exactly the way that it's supposed to. You make it ready. You prepare it. You make it. You make it ready. Now, Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place, and if I go and prepare a place for you." Did he go and prepare a place?
Yes.
Well, he said, "If I go," he said, "I will come again."
Yeah,
"and receive you." That means to take up. That word receive means to take up, grab a hold of, and draw to one side.
Yeah.
"I will take up. I will receive you unto my. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." He's talking to his disciples. But he hadn't gone yet. And they said, Thomas, doubting Thomas. Bless his heart, he had some good questions. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest." And he really didn't. He didn't understand.
Right.
"And how can we know the way? If you're going somewhere, we want to be with you, but how can we get there? We don't know the way." Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way."
Amen.
the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way. Now, that's the road.
Amen.
I want us to think about the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. Man, I tell you what, if John the Baptist wasn't an unlikely character, Saul of Tarsus surely was.
Amen.
You know, which one of y'all, any of you preachers or anybody else in the audience, which one of y'all would have wanted to go and present the gospel to the apostle, to Saul of Tarsus? I wouldn't have wanted to go on and see him. I would have cowered down in front of that. Ananias didn't even want to see him after something happened to him, after God talked to him. He didn't even, you know, while God was talking to him, he didn't want to see him. And while Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, and he was had letters that really gave him all the permission he needed to put people like you and me in prison and even to death for what we're doing tonight.
Yep. Yep.
It may come to that again.
That's right.
You talk about an unlikely character, an unlikely recipient for salvation. Saul of Tarsus was it.
That's right.
It says while he was yet breathing out threatenings.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that looked like? I've played football, and you know, we have rivals that we talk to, and we're in there getting all fired up before the football game or something, and we're like, we're going to rip their heads off. Yeah. I can imagine what Saul of Tarsus was doing while he was with his company on that road, and he was saying, I hate those Christians, and I'm going to bind them, and I'm going to beat them, and I'm going to put them into prison. And while Saul was yet breathing out those threatenings, God struck him down on the road to Damascus, and he fell off his horse to the ground, and he was blinded. He saw a light that was shining above the brightness of the sun. And God struck him down. And you know what Saul's response was? He said, who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do? Boy, preacher didn't get to him, did he? I could have presented the gospel to him. And I'm telling you what he would have done to me. He would have put me in prison. He would have said, bind him and take him to the prison or kill him on the spot. But you know, he didn't have that power with God. The preacher did. God subdued that man. He changed that man in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It was that fast that he changed his heart. That don't sound like the Roman road to salvation to me, does it? You? An unlikely character. Unlikely candidate for salvation. John the Baptist, an unlikely candidate. I want to tell you about another one. Y'all know the thief on the cross, don't you? The thief on the cross, effectively on his death cross. We call it deathbed. A lot of people send preachers and into the hospitals to pastors and all that, priests and all different kind of ones to go into the people when they're on death row, even, and when they're on deathbed. And what they're doing is they're presenting some kind of way for them to make some kind of response so that they might be able to go to heaven. But my friends, I want you to know that the thief on the cross, when he was on there, no man preached to him.
Amen.
There wasn't something that he did in order for him to receive salvation or something for him to do in order to get it. He didn't say a prayer. He didn't get baptized. He didn't live a holy life, did he? And he railed on Jesus Christ just like the other one. You know, that's strange to me. You know how ignorant and foolish human beings are? He railed on Jesus for being on the cross, and he was in the same position. Look at you, you're up on the cross. Ha ha ha. Wagging his head at him, and he's sitting up there, hanging up there, right next to him. How dumb are human beings? And then something happened to that man. He said to the other thief that was railing on him again. And so the thief was communicating with the other thief and said, "Hey, we are hanging here justly and justly condemned, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And then he turns his head to Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." Amen. You know, that thief on the cross is an unlikely candidate to receive salvation by the Roman road.
Amen, brother.
But thank God that's not the road.
That's right. Amen.
Thank God there's a straighter road.
Amen.
Thank God there's a road that you don't have to walk down. There's a road that you're carried down.
Amen.
To get there.
Amen, brother.
And Jesus is that road.
Amen.
You know, I want to say this. Jesus said, "I am the way." There's a lot of people that have a lot of different ways to get from point A to point B, but Jesus said, "I am the way."
Right.
You know, Brother Chris, I was preaching in Africa one time, and I was preaching this particular scripture, this here about "I am the way," and I'll try to learn a little bit of Swahili along the way. And Yesu means Jesus, Nia is, and Njia is the way or road. And I said, "Yesu, Nia, Njia," and they said, "Amen." And there was a few other people in there from a very prominent religion in that part of the world, and even in this one. And I said, "I want you to understand that Abraham, Moses, was not the way.
Right. Amen.
Judaism is not the way. I said, Islam is not the way."
Right.
"And Muhammad is not his name."
Amen.
Friends, I want you to understand. I want you to hear me clearly. Christianity is not the way.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that promote Christianity as the only way to get from point A, hell, to point B, heaven. And I want you to know that Christianity is not the way. I want you to know that I'm not diminishing the blessedness in following Christ as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. I'm not diminishing that. But no matter how good you follow Christ is not the way.
Amen.
You knowing about the way is not the way.
Right.
Jesus said, "I am the way." So many people that have been presented this Roman road, they have various ideas about it, that their baptism is the way, or that the person that brings the gospel to them is the way. And that was one of the turns. And I want you to know that my mama, as blessed as she was, and my daddy, as blessed and as a wonderful blessing as they were to me, they're not the way.
Amen.
And I want you to know that after that sermon, there was six people that were members of Islam that came up and they joined the church. And you know why? It's because we've never heard a Christian say what you said tonight. They said they all think that Christianity is the way, but you've shown us that it's Christianity is not the way. Jesus is the way. He said, I'm the door. There's no other way to get there but by Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, this is amazing. Have you ever thought about that? Christianity's not the way, but Jesus is. It doesn't make sense to me that people think that a poor sinner's ability as a follower of Christ would be the way. But the one whom we follow is the way.
Amen.
I mean, God's got to have a different way than this road, this Roman road to salvation.
Amen.
It's got to be on something that's based on something more sure and more solid and more enduring and more effective.
Amen.
Than my response.
Right.
More enduring and more effective than the preaching of the gospel from the preacher to excite your senses or to motivate you to move or to give a response. My friend, it's on the power of God that you are struck down in your sinfulness and you cry out, Abba, Father. And my friend, that striking down is the way. That regeneration is the way. That Jesus is the way. He's the one that died on the cross for your sins to make salvation not just probable, but effective.
Amen.
When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, I don't think he was talking about going back to heaven. I think Jesus said there's something that I must accomplish first before I'm able to come back again. And the preparation to make all the preparations and to make it ready for him was that justice was demanded and he had to pay the sin debt first so that him going and preparing the way was on the cross. He had to pay the sin debt first to take his children home. And boy, I tell you what, that's good news to me. That's shouting ground. That's shouting ground to me that Jesus paid it all. You know, there's a lot of folks that sing that song that don't believe it. Because to them, Jesus just paid part and you pay the remaining part. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus paid all of it. You know why Jesus paid it all? It's because there was only one kind of currency that would satisfy the debt. And you know what that currency was? It wasn't a dollar. It wasn't your obedience. It wasn't a prayer. It wasn't baptism. It was precious blood.
Amen.
That you don't have.
Amen, brother.
You have blood, but Ezekiel says, I found thee in a waste town wilderness. That's Jeremiah. He said, I found you and you were polluted in your own blood. And my friends, that currency that had to be paid to pay the sin debt to satisfy the justice that God demanded was only paid by the precious blood, the only currency that could satisfy it. And when he paid that debt, it was satisfied, and Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
And when Jesus paid it all, it satisfied God. And when he come up and rose out of that grave and that tomb was empty, they realized later, that high priest had come out of the holy place then, alive, having accomplished the sin debt atonement.
Amen.
May God be praised today that he doesn't need me. I'm not saying preaching ain't a good thing. Preaching is a great thing. I'm not saying prayer is not a good thing. It's a vital thing. I'm not saying living a holy life is a bad thing. It's a needful thing. It's a God-honoring thing. I'm not saying faith's not important. Hey, you can't please God without it. It's an important thing, but faith is not the way.
Amen.
Jesus is the way.
Yes.
May God bless you is my prayer.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.